And hello there. It is Intuitive Soul Radio on Tuesday afternoon, and we are with our lovely guest, Joshua Zuchter.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So we've just been chatting away here while the music's been playing, and I'm not sure whether everybody's been listening or not, but it doesn't matter. It's been fun. We've been chatting away about all the different things that you do.
Yes.
And so let's start, I guess, with the journey that sort of got you up to here. Because I think a lot of people kind of resonate with where people have come from, and it helps them sort of recognize where they've come from. And then they can start recognizing that maybe they're doing some great things in their life and they're not really appreciating them yet. So that's why I kind of liked starting with people's story.
Sure. Well, ever since I was young, two, I remember back to two, and I've always been open to this. When I was younger, I used to see spirits, and up until about age seven, and then I saw a scary movie, and then that stopped. And I just turned that right off.
Wow.
And yeah, I could still feel them. But so with that in mind, and other people didn't. So I knew I was different somehow.
Do you remember the scary movie? I'm just curious.
I do. I wasn't sure if I should mention it. Otherwise, other people might go and buy it. I don't know. It's the movie Poltergeist. That'll do it. And can you imagine age six? What was my mother thinking, you know, at age six? So let me see that kind of movie. So
what was she thinking?
I don't know. Actually, I think she wanted me to be with her to watch the movie because she was afraid. I think that was what, so after that I turned the gift off, and then, it wasn't until about, 3 years ago that I started seeing spirits again.
Oh.
But it happens now every now and then. I saw a little dog a year ago, and that was really neat. But typically I hadn't experienced that since I was young. And so, back then, I knew that I was here to help the world in some way. I didn't know what that meant, and I saw the movie Superman, which everyone, probably every male especially, was, you know, I was 4 years old, and it was 1978, and I was in the theater. I grew up in London, Ontario, and so you had to stand, at that point, you had to stand for O Canada, the beginning of a film.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember that. Maybe just in London. I don't know.
I'm trying to remember if you had to do that. I think you probably did.
Yeah. And so I remember watching it, and I was thinking, as I was watching it, I knew that what he's doing, he's achieving something beyond what we think is possible. And I always knew that we have the ability to do that. We haven't seen anyone fly, or maybe in India or in other, you know, shamanistic areas, they see people levitating.
Mm-hmm.
But typically that's not something we see, but I knew that it was possible. And it wasn't that I wanted to be Superman, as I'm sure a lot of people have felt. I would love to have that power, but I knew that we could do that.
Right.
And so I always was open to that possibility. And ever since then, I've always been curious. And so anyhow, that led me throughout my life. I think when I was about maybe 16 or 17, my family doctor recommended I take Reiki. Mm-hmm. So that was my first introduction to energy. And so I took Reiki level one, and I took Reiki level two, and I didn't do the weekend course. I didn't do the internet certificate course for Reiki. This is like the authentic thing. And so I really, that was really incredible. And I started to feel energy with my hands, and even now, even I'm getting hot talking about it. So I tend to get a lot of energy come through me. If you watch a movie with me in a movie theater, I can heat up the entire theater. So sometimes you don't want to be around me in a movie theater.
It's funny, it's not quite the same with me. People like, you know, stand up from the back of the theater or the front of the theater wanting to know who's laughing is usually what happens with
right.
me.
Okay.
But that's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm warm, I guess. Yeah, Superman was warm too, wasn't he? So I started in Reiki. I took the Silva method. Back then it was the Silva method of mind control.
Mm-hmm.
Not anyone else's mind, just your own mind. So we learned how to make our right hand hot, our left hand cold, and, you know, learned how to tap into people's bodies and energy and see them and scan them. And so basically that was my introduction to energy and the use of the subconscious mind. And then I was speaking with my chiropractor one day, and I said to him, I wanted to get a photographic memory because my girlfriend at the time had a photographic memory. She could remember conversations we had 2 years prior. She could remember what was on page 25 of her textbook from a year before. So I thought, that's what I want. And so he referred me to a woman named Sue Mays. Sue Mays, I call her the mother of kinesiology in Ontario. And so I took Brain Gym with her, mm-hmm. and I studied, became a student and client of hers for 5 years, learned about nutrition, about kinesiology, about muscle testing, and about the mind and how it works, and explored that and explored myself.
Which is always important.
Absolutely. And so then one day I asked her a question and she wasn't quite sure how to answer it. So she referred me to her friend named Faye Kidd. Faye Kidd was a part of the Inner Peace Movement way back. Most people haven't heard of this, actually. The Inner Peace Movement was founded by a man named Francisco, and he basically taught people how to connect with their guidance. And they would travel around North America with no funds, and they would just be guided to where they needed to go. They'd be on radio, on TV. People would just find them. And so she was a part of that for a while. She left that eventually, and she led groups out of her home. And so I eventually became part of her group. And for 8 years, every week, we studied how to connect with our guides and our angels. And we learned about energy and explored ourselves. And we would be 2 hours every Saturday, sometimes every Thursday. And there would be a core group of us, of maybe 5 people. And then throughout the 8 years, people would come in for 8 months, 9 months, and then they would leave and new people would come in. But there was always a core group of us. And so, yeah, we studied lots of really neat things. And and that really, I really consider her like my Yoda and my guru. She'd hate it if she heard me call her my guru. Faye is one of those, and she's around today. She still does what she calls angel counselings. So she teaches people how many guides you have here with you this life, how they communicate with you. She teaches you the 4 avenues of communication, which we all know now is clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, and claircognizance. So essentially that was a part of it, but they don't give those terms to it. One of the things I love about Faye is that she doesn't really promote herself. So you can imagine, we're studying some of the most incredible things. She's charging $5 per week for us to come. And so it wasn't about the money. It was about service. And to me, that's really important. So I grew up with her as like my teacher in that way. So so I really am fortunate, I believe, to have found her. And so now we still connect and talk. And eventually the group ended. And it was very difficult at the time because I didn't know, I felt, what am I to do next? And I was maybe around 25. But I realized that it was significant for me. It was time for me to start going through and experiencing this all for myself. And so that was a significant time for me. Mm-hmm. And so things just evolved from there. In the meantime, I had taken therapeutic touch. I had taken quantum touch. I had taken Qigong. I had taken many martial arts for about 15 years. I studied sound healing, sound therapy. What else have I done? And on top of that, I was doing my own work, my own inner work. Yeah. So, so that's really how my.
It's funny. I used to think I did a lot. I'm not that weaker comparison or anything here, but
it's quality, not quantity, quality.
Oh, right. That's it. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You've done a lot.
So that really was my beginning. And I read the occasional book here and there. People think, that I've read lots of books. I haven't actually, which I am very proud of, to be honest. I really now teach people, make sure that you, when you read a book, that you're called to it. We have what I call book hoppers. And, people, talk about how they have 50 books on their, anyone who's listening, and I'm sure you've experienced this, you have 50 books sitting right beside your bed. And we talk about all the books we have to read. But the thing is, we're not really called to many of those books. Mm. It's just a reaction. And so what I encourage people to do is to really check in and get a sense of what you're called to read. And when you do that, you could eliminate probably about 95% of that pile. And so I read a few books, and mainly they came from my teachers. So Sue introduced me to the Celestine Prophecy. Most people have read that now, I'm sure, who are listening, and that is a wonderful book. And that really helped me, because the funny thing is, when I read that book, I had no clue it was fiction.
Right.
Yeah. I had no clue. So I did the funniest thing. I don't know if I should be telling you this, actually. This could be used against me in the future. But I actually looked in, I contacted the consulate in Peru to find out. To find out. I'm not embarrassed to say this. I'm doing this nationally, internationally. I don't know where this is going. But anyhow, I contacted them to ask about I don't know if I called it the scroll. I don't know what I called it. It was very funny. But because when I was going through the Celestine Prophecy and reading it, I was having experiences. Right. So I thought it was real. And I never thought to even check if it was fiction. And so it wasn't until maybe a couple months later that I found out, and it was a rude awakening, I guess. But a funny awakening now.
Well, that's kind of cute, though.
Yeah. So that was one book. Some other books that I've really, probably my favorite book was one that was introduced by Faye to our group, and it's not really well known. It's called The Man Who Tapped the Secrets of the Universe by Glenn Clark. And he interviewed a man named Walter Russell. And Walter Russell, throughout his life, every 7 years would have a period of illumination. And so they say he became an enlightened being. And when you read what he speaks, it's, you feel the essence of it. And it's absolutely pure, absolutely cuts to the heart of everything. And so that would definitely be my favorite. A lot of the books that I've read are all fairly old. You know, they're older books. Mm-hmm. So that book was in 1945. So lots, you know, so I've read maybe total 20, 25 books. That's not very many in this field. So a lot of my work comes from more from my own writing and journaling. So, yeah.
And let's talk about that, because that's one of the areas that you like to coach on the most.
Absolutely. Well, over that time with Faye, I was asking a lot of questions. And I don't know if it was because she was tired of me asking so many or not, but she said, Josh, it's time that you start answering your own questions. And so she would journal, but I didn't really know what that meant. She would write. She had thick books like this big and 3 inches.
For those of us on radio, 3 inches.
Yeah, 3 inches, right? 3 inches thick. And she had tons of them.
Right.
So so I began writing, and I would, over 15 years, I started developing a method that allowed me to be able to ask any question and tap into the answer just like that. And there were things that I would never think of, consciously. Not only that, but over time, I realized this is a really powerful tool that people can use. And now I teach it. It's a long title. The title is changing, but it's called The Discovered Art of Core Journaling. The Discovered Art of Core Journaling. And so I actually have created a new product for it. It's actually available on my website. You can download it, and it's a home study program now. So, which is very neat that people can do that. They don't need to call in into teleclass and have me lead them through it. They can actually just order this program. And it's very inexpensive. It's like $69 to, for $64.95 for the course, and they get a whole lot of bonuses with that. They can call into I offer the Discovered Art of Core Journaling teleclass 3 times a year. And I allow only up to 12 people in the course. And it's all a teleclass. It's 3 nights a week, or 3 nights over 3 weeks, every Tuesday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Eastern. And so initially I offered it as one big 3-hour seminar. Mm-hmm. But I found that people weren't able to experience it. So by turning it into a teleclass, I opened it up to people from all over the world. So I have people, someone from Alaska, someone from, California, Elmville, Toronto. So that was a lot of fun, but it also allowed them to practice in between the sessions and experience core journaling. And I call it core journaling because you access your core in this, I believe. You're accessing the essence of who we are. So, and it's very quick. And I offer it as a very good alternative to meditation. In fact, meditation, I believe, is a tool that was very specifically recommended to certain people. It's not to be recommended to everyone. And it's used for very specific things. And so I believe that there's different tools and techniques for different things. So this core journaling is sometimes more effective for people that have very busy minds. When they go to meditate, they go crazy because they're actually getting more frustrated trying to meditate. And so their mind gets even busier. Mm-hmm. So this core journaling allows you to naturally get into a clear state. And then if you want to meditate, you can. I found that it's very effective that way. And so core journaling involves asking a question and then allowing the answer to come through. And so since I started doing this, I now get incredible quotes. When I started, I would write down a question and I'd get a phrase or a sentence. Now I'll get 10 to 20 pages of a response. And the responses are usually very insightful and ones I've never heard of before. Hmm. Yeah. And I get beautiful quotes. So, and once I hear them, it's as if I already knew them, but I never heard or seen them before. One is, this is one of my favorite. When the truth is spoken, it rings for all eternity and shatters all illusion. Hmm. When the truth is spoken, it rings for all eternity and shatters all illusion. So just gorgeous, you know, quotes like that. I had given a seminar in Ottawa during some people remember the harmonic, I think it was the harmonic convergence. And I remember being in Ottawa and we were driving on the highway and the sun was on my right and the moon was on my left. It was like a mirror image. It was the most surreal experience. So of course I gave a seminar that weekend and it was hosted by this woman in Ottawa, and the seminar had gone extremely well, and then all of a sudden it ended and everyone was leaving, and then something happened. The energy of this person shifted. There was a conflict between her and someone else there, and I got into I became a mediator, and I spent 5 hours there. I was supposed to drive back to Toronto from Ottawa, but ended up staying there and became mediator, and I was really bothered by this. I got back to Toronto 1 a.m. I never in my life had trouble sleeping until that night. And eventually I fell asleep. And when I woke up, I had a quote that came to me. And this is very, very neat because it sounds very ancient. And the quote was, "Cast your judgments aside, for you have attracted the light of God into your life through all beings that are manifest." And so in that moment, all of a sudden, I totally opened up. And I realized what had happened. I got into judgment about this woman. But I was so excited about the quote coming, I thought, wait, I've got to call her and tell her this quote. And really, it was for me. Yeah. So that was quite powerful. So I get quotes like that come to me every now and then. Some are very fun. There's a fun riddle I can share with you.
Oh, please.
let me see if I can get this right. It's been a while since I've thought about this one. It's the easiest thing to forget and the most important thing to remember. Breathe.
Oh.
Is that fun?
That's fun.
So I'm glad there's a sense of humor in the spirit world.
There you go.
Yeah. So I tend to get lots of quotes like that. I'm actually working on that's a separate project, but a book of quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the core journaling method has helped me to tap into that. And so now I teach that, and that's important.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be very important.
Mm-hmm.
You work a lot with entrepreneurs. You're doing all sorts of different things. What did you say? You have 15 projects on the go right now?
Yeah, I have about 15 full-time projects on the go. So it means that I sleep about 4 hours a day. And
what's that like exactly?
I'm a little tired right now, actually. It's, it's interesting. I'm of the mindset that I get very bored, or I get into a state of that I need to shift to something else. So by having these projects, 15 projects, it actually allows me to shift from thing to thing to thing. And I am in that state of inspiration. In fact, the first time I heard about that concept was in the book, The Man Who Tapped the Secrets of the Universe. What he did was he would do something for 2 hours, a creative effort or whatever he was doing for 2 hours, and then he would shift to something else. And he did that every day. So if he was learning how to horseback ride, to master that, and he mastered many things. In fact, if you do a search online, you'll find his name and you'll see all of his incredible accomplishments. And so he would, you know, he would ride a horse for 2 hours a day until he mastered it. Then he would shift to something else. So he was basically, he became a master sculptor, a master artist, a master of this, master of that. And he created great wealth at the same time. And that's an, that's something else. So 15 projects. My clients are so as a life coach or business coach is what people call me. I have, some people call me a synchronicity coach. That's a lot of fun. And so basically half my clients are entrepreneurs and half are individuals, just, you know, people who work for a company or, you know, are searching for themselves. And so we will coach and spend time doing that. And, I love both. I started working with entrepreneurs because way back when in 2003, when I was having all my challenges with my business, 2002 to 2003 was my first full-time year of business. And it was probably the hardest year of my life. By the end of that year, I was eating peanut butter and jam sandwiches every day for lunch and dinner. And I was, you know, I was evicted. I was in my apartment evicted thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? I had had no new clients for 4 months. All of the seminars I had promoted, no one was attending. So it was a very challenging time. And I realized that, you know, here I am, you know, a synchronicity coach, and I can't even manifest a dime. What is going on? And so I realized I have to look at the principles that I teach and discover what I'm not practicing. And so I realized what it was. And then the following 3 weeks attracted 14 long-term clients and booked 11 seminars, one of which was starting of speaking for the Learning Annex. And that changed my whole life and my career from there on. So at that point, I became much more introspective about business.
What was the one thing you were missing?
Well, you know, it's very simple and most of us experience this, but I'll share what it was. I was so focused on what I didn't have. Mm-hmm. I was so focused on how things were not working that, and for me, if you could be a fly on my wall, you know, I have clients who experience just miraculous things every day. So if you're a client, you think it's unusual to you. But if you were a fly on my wall, you'd see actually every single one of the people I work with is like that. So it's quite neat. So I get to see that. It's kind of a neat vantage point for me. And to be a part of that, I feel, you know, very grateful for that. But at that time, that was one of the things I'd been practicing the art of looking at what I didn't have, and I became very good at it. And so once I realized that, I came up with a technique. And it was a technique that basically it's probably the most effective manifestation tool I've ever come across. And I now teach it in my workshops and in my, you know, with my clients. One of my clients, she practiced it every day and was able to change her income from $2,500 a month to $20,000 a month. And she made no changes to her business. No, she didn't do any extra marketing. It was simply this one exercise for actually 8 minutes a day, every day. And within 2 months, her income went, you know, multiplied by 10 times. And it was wonderful. And other people have the same results. So, you know, you can apply it to your health, to your finances, to your career, to whatever you want. And I can talk a bit about it if you like.
Okay, yeah, because you know you've got right. Our curiosity right. Going
so
now, right?
It really comes, everyone has heard, a lot of people have heard about Law of Attraction and mm-hmm. The Secret. And so a lot of this came before that stuff came out. Although I will say, I didn't share this part. We can get into this after if you like. But I had a revelation one day and all of a sudden had an equation that came to me of how the universe functions. And that equation, I thought this is the most incredible thing. And then about a year later, I heard about Abraham. And it turned out we had both come to a very similar concept. And so I was very excited by that because I felt vindicated. I felt like, yes, I'm tapping into something that's, you know, that other people are hearing about and that's working. And so I'm still developing it to this day and I don't talk much about it, but I work on it, you know, so I get elements of it here and there. So anyway, the exercise, we can talk about this, and this is very good, is really shifting your energy around any subject. So let's talk about bills.
Okay.
So usually in seminars, what I ask is, who here loves to get bills in the mail? Do you love bills?
Well, usually I have more income coming in than my bills, but yes, okay. Lately it's been, so we can go with that.
Okay, so most people hate bills. They don't like bills. Their energy around bills is resistant, closed off, and so on. So I realized this, and I used to feel that way too, and I said, well, let's shift this. So what are some benefits to bills? So what do you think are some benefits to bills? What's a benefit?
Will it remind you of how you're creating?
Absolutely. I mean, isn't that a glorious? That's so glorious, I think. It keeps you regular. It sounds funny, but can you imagine if at the end of the year you had not received a single bill? You'd owe $5,000, $10,000 on your hydro, on your on your cell phone, on your television. So the bills actually help to keep us regular. Mm. I say that kind of playfully, but bills are useful because this is a funny one that probably most people would not consider, but when I was going through my challenges with my business in 2002-2003, I was behind on, I was in $55,000 debt. My car should have been repossessed. I was behind by like 5 months on that. And I called an Amex, American Express, and I called them up and it was fantastic because a woman who I spoke with asked me what I did and later subscribed to my newsletter and I think attended one of my seminars. So one of the benefits of bills is it can help you to attract clients. so it was really quite funny how that happened. And so I won't guarantee that that will happen with any credit card company, but it happened for me. So it was quite humorous. And so, but you can see bills are actually quite helpful. And what happens is when you start to shift your perspective on just bills in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, we have shifted our perspective and it has shifted for good. And so think about being able to do that with anything.
Right.
And so the moment you do that, your energy, not the key. And here's the other thing. It's not even that you shifted about that particular topic. It's that in the moment right now, when you're talking about it, your energy shifted right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you attract from this present moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeling more open and strong and better right now, you are, while we're here, things are moving outside of this office, outside of this room, and are working in your favor, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so that's the cool part about this. And it's a very simple technique. So I recommend it as a cocktail. You can talk about the benefits of health. You can talk about the benefits of money. You can talk about the benefits of romantic relationships. Do 3 of those, 3 minutes each and every day. And please contact both of us and let us know how things are shifting. It's truly profound. I had one woman who attended the Learning Annex course that I gave, and she practiced this. She was a holistic practitioner, and she emailed into the Learning Annex and gave a testimonial. I didn't know about this until a couple years later. She said, I don't know if it was the technique that Josh, you know, recommended, but my practice has filled up in 3 days where I had no clients before, and I typically don't have a full practice.
Huh.
So it's powerful.
Wow.
Yeah. So I get those kinds of things that come to me. And so over time, I realized that one of the challenges for me in that year was I had no clue about business. I think there's 2 ways really to run a business. Either you do it naturally from your heart of hearts and your soul, and you're always guided to the right place at the right time. Many of my friends are like that. I've got a good friend who's a practitioner in London. He's a cranial sacral therapist. He does his own energy work, and he's booked 4 months in advance, doesn't even have a website, just got an email address like 3 years ago. He's booked 4 months in advance.
Wow.
And when you speak with him, he's the least business oriented guy. He will not talk about marketing. I mean, that's not really his thing, but he's so deeply committed and believes so much in what he does that, and he has experience with it, that people experience incredible things. And so it's just been natural. For me, when I started, I had some disbelief in myself. So I find that there's 2 kinds of entrepreneurs. There's those that have total belief and are guided, and that's just the natural flow. And there are those who warm up to that. That was me. I was warming up to that. And so, I looked into marketing and I researched all of that kind of stuff. And And so over time, I developed my own understanding. And so now that's why I started helping entrepreneurs. But all my work with everyone is based on these techniques. So, you know, whether you come to me because you want to improve your relationship or attract a relationship or deepen your commitment within your relationship, you're going to be using the same tools and discovering the same part of you that's going to help you with your business. I believe everything is a reflection of you, no matter what it is. So I believe your romantic relationship is reflecting you in some way. I believe your business is reflecting you in some way. So if your business is not going well, it means something in you is not going well. If your business is doing really well, it's because there's something in you that's really clear. And so that's what I help my clients to do, is to find out what those things are so they can shift them, expand them, enhance them. And so it brings up an interesting point. Some people work with me because they want to change their life. Others want to explore. And the exploration is a lot of fun. I worked with a gentleman for about a year, every week for a year. This man was committed like anything. And 50-something, 53 executive, he owned his own, CEO of his own corporation, and he became a coach. And we had some of the most incredible chats because he was so engaged and ready. He had, now he was quite different from me. He had read like 90 books, or maybe 100 books, I don't know, something like that. He had gone to every seminar that he could find. He was, you know, listened to 30, that's okay. That's okay. Bang on the truth or something like that. he had, you know, done all of this. And at the same time, he was already doing the core journaling without me sharing it with him. And his stuff was incredible. And so he and I worked together for a year, and it was really quite fun. We, you know, we went leading edge with a lot of what he was, you know, we were talking about. And so I really enjoy both. I enjoy helping people to explore and also to work through whatever they're working on. So, yeah, so that's my shtick.
Yeah. Sounds very interesting. Sounds like you probably help a lot of people.
Yeah, I initially, it's funny because from a business perspective, they talk about systems. The idea is that we all have a heartbeat in our physical body. The question is, what is the heartbeat of your business? The heartbeat of your business is statistics, systems, and so on. So it was an interesting way to look at it. So I started delving into that, and I started keeping track of how many people I've worked with and all that kind of stuff. And so, and I've worked with over 700, I think 700 people over the past, let me see, since 2002, so 6 years, and I've given about 800 keynotes, workshops, seminars, and so on, and yeah, so,
wow,
yeah, it's been quite neat.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is a lot of people, and that's just the start, too, so that's, I've always known that I was to expand, and I've had visions of where I'll be headed and what I'll be doing down the road, and so, to me, this has been, in a way, a training ground for me. I really believe firmly, sometimes I hold to this, is really learning from our own experience. And I think probably Faye helped me with that too. Rather than learning from someone else's, learning from my own. Mm. And this is a common theme with speakers, and I'm one of them, is that people go to the workshops and tend to hold the speaker up on a pedestal. Mm. And as a result of doing that, they knock themselves off of one. And I asked the question when I journaled on it. And I said, why is that? Why does that happen? What causes that? And I realized that I was the same, that I would put more faith in the speaker than I was in myself because I was going based on their experience, not on my own. So it meant that I need to start learning from my own experience. And as I did, my belief in myself started to develop. And so that was the flip. But I will say it's not for everyone. And some people are not prepared for that. They need to go at their own pace. They need to attend as many seminars as they need to. And I support that. I love seminars. I recommend them. I attended Greg Braden's recently, and he's a great guy. And so I recommend doing it from your heart.
Right.
So again, not just seminar hopping, going with what you truly feel called to go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is probably why you haven't read as many books as
that's right.
A lot
yeah.
of people.
Yeah. Again, quality versus quantity. They're quality books. And here's the other thing that I recommend is when someone reads a book that they actually, at the end of every chapter, they write down, what is one thing I can apply from this chapter? because we usually just speed through the whole book and that they say that was great. And then we move on to the next one, not really practicing what we're learning or hearing. So that's another thing that I recommend.
And now that I get to read everybody that I'm, you know, bringing onto my show, how am I going to do with that?
Oh, man. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm sending you good vibes and loving, absorbing vibes. May the force be with you.
Thanks. I feel the love. Yeah.
So, and that is pretty neat because you have attracted that. So that's there's something to that as well, you know? Yeah.
So. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true. So what haven't we touched on that you wanted to talk about?
Good question. So, you know, the core journaling is really important. Mm-hmm. I actually have a teleclass coming up. So again, it's 3 times a year. The next one is in May. And so if someone would like to do that, they're welcome. Can I talk about me? Yeah. They're welcome to go to my website. It's www.joshuazuchter.com, which is really easy. JOSHUAZUCHTER.com. And that's fun to say that.
You like to say that?
I do. Can I say that again? No.
So,
yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm just teasing. So they can just go to my website and register for it there. And again, there's 12 spaces. Typically, it sells out because there's only 12, and so I offer that 3 times. If they wish to do it on their own, they can just download the program. But the core journaling is one program I want to talk about. The other is a new book that I'm writing. Right. It's a book for parents and teachers, and this came actually from. This is quite an interesting story. Is that about a year ago I had gone up to a cottage, and I had never been to a cottage before. Believe it or not. And as a bit of a hermit when I was younger and, up until last year and so I'd gone to a cottage and I was out and I'm fair skinned, not too dark. So anyhow, I was outside for 5 hours with, you know, and so I was with, a friend and girlfriend at the time. And the friend said to me, you know, Josh, you're looking a little red. Maybe you should go inside. And I looked down and I thought, okay, yeah, I better go in. And within an hour, I couldn't walk.
Oh, no.
So I had like third degree burns on my shins. It was nasty. And so believe it or not, I couldn't walk for 3 weeks. I couldn't walk. And so fortunately, I had a great acupuncturist who helped me. And otherwise, yeah. So, but in that time, I watched a lot of TV. And around that time, I watched a lot of tennis. I really enjoy tennis. But around that time, the war between Lebanon and Israel was taking place. And I sat there watching this, and of course, Superman Returns had just come out around then, or the video had come out. So again, this was reminding me about when I first saw Superman. And so all of that just stirred me again. And when I was 4, I really felt like I actually had the weight of the world on my shoulders. And I really turned inward at that age. And I said, I can't do this, or I don't know what I'm. Again,
you were
I was 4. And I didn't have a cognitive, an intellectual understanding. I just had a feeling. But I was a very stubborn little child. You wouldn't know that when you meet me now, but I was like a hell child. I knew what I wanted, and it had to go my way, or it was the highway. And so, I don't know, you might call me a true indigo back then.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I was watching TV, and I normally don't watch news. I recommend all my clients not to watch news, not to read the newspaper except for the entertainment or sports sections, as long as it's not news. That's the key. And
oh, so watch the go to the entertainment section because that's full of just great
well,
things.
Well, it can be. There's cultural things in that section.
Right. I don't
you're
read
right.
The paper, so
okay. See, good for you. See, perfect.
And
you're
I
not,
don't have a TV.
Exactly. You're good. You're all good. Yeah. So basically, I was watching TV, and every now and then I would see the stuff happening, and it really got me thinking. And I asked, how can there really be peace in the world? How is it possible? And because I really felt called, but I knew that you can't protest war. That just adds to war.
What you resist.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I learned from that. And so I realized you can't create, you know, peace from war. It must be created peace from peace. And so, but even that, this is such a subtle lesson. Because we think we're going to create peace. But the question is, why are we going to create peace? Because we're trying to get away from war. So it's a catch-22. Mm. So even people who think that they're coming from a place of peace are not. They're still going to change. It's such a subtle thing. Such a subtle thing. So I asked, how is this possible? And
because for me, it's just this ever-present state that's within me. It's not something right. that I have to create. It's just...
See, and that's the difference.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference.
You were getting there.
Right. Yeah, you got it. So you jumped ahead.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
No, that's okay. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. So the thing is, but I said, well, what about all these other generations? And the wars that go on in the world, that's not because they want war. They just don't know any better.
Mm.
How do you shift that? And then I had some revelations, and they're at the heart of this book that I'm writing. And it's actually going to be an ebook for parents and teachers who want to support their children more emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And the essence of the book is that there are three ways that we need to support our kids. The thing is, we put so much emphasis on children. And when I had these insights, illuminations, I realized we put so much emphasis on our children growing up because they're the leaders of our tomorrow. The children are the leaders of our tomorrow. The irony is that the leaders of our today were the children of our yesterday, and there's still war going on.
Mm.
So this is being said. And so I realize the key is not in the children. The key is in the parents of the children.
Mm.
And so for me. So I realize that in order for our children to experience who they truly are and to experience their, you know, unlimited capacities or their unlimited nature, whatever you wish to call it, there's three ways that we need to support them. And number one is with unconditional love, which most don't understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is offering them guidance and wisdom. And then the third is helping them to foster their own inner connection. When we support children in those with those three things, they grow up completely awake and open and nurtured and supported and confident. They have strong self-esteems. They don't shy away from things. They step into things. They're active and engaged rather than reactive and unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have those three things present, you have these incredible children. Probably that's what they call their crystal children these days. They're just awake. But they can lose that. They can lose sight of that. The nice thing about many of them is that they've chosen parents like you. I don't know if you're a parent or not.
Mm-mm.
But you'd be like an ideal... Hmm. You'd be an ideal candidate. You'd be an ideal candidate for Crystal Child. that's very funny. There could be a good skit on that. Or a good comic strip. The thing is, the parents of these kids are very open and loving. And as a result, they continue to evolve from that open place. And so I believe it's important that the parents cultivate this within their children. But for that to happen, they have to cultivate it within themselves first.
Yes.
And that's the interesting part. So you have a parent all of a sudden who's starting to explore their own spirituality and their interconnection and develop and understand what unconditional love is. Most parents don't know what that is. And so, but when they start awakening to that, and their kids are present to that awakening, you get profound connections created between the parent and the child.
Mm-hmm.
I work with families as well, to a lesser degree, but I work with families. And a lot of parents say, the parents bring me in, they say, can you work with my son or daughter? Because they're rebellious, they're resistant. And my typical answer, they don't usually like it. My typical response is actually, it's usually you that needs the work. You know. And so then either they appreciate that and I work with all of them, or they go to someone else.
Right.
But that really is key. And so this book came as was inspired from that revelation, and so that's at the heart of the book.
Hmm.
And so yeah, so that's one of the projects that I'm working on that I don't know, it'll probably take me a few months to get that completed, and then
that's one of the 15.
That's right. Yeah, that's okay. One of the 15, and yeah, it's like a deck of cards. Which one do I want to pull out today? So that's one of them. Actually, I brought some of what I've written for that, so mm-hmm. I could always read from that if you like.
If you want to,
yeah, sure, I'd love to. I was thinking about what I would share today, and so this came, and you get to see. No one else gets to see this. You get to see like my rough notes here. Sometimes my writing comes through wholly, no editing. Other times there's some editing required. It's a mix. If I come from my emotions sometimes, then there's editing. I'm quick to that. So let me see. This is actually the section marked unconditional love. So I'll start with that one. Let me know. Maybe we'll go maybe that length.
Sure.
Okay. So unconditional love is the type of expression that you make when you say to someone you care about, I love you. And although the words may be spoken, it is your true intention behind the words that determines their true expression and what matters most. When I say, I love you from the standpoint of unconditional love, you are saying these three things. I am thankful for you being in my life and grateful for being a part of yours. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I'm grateful that we both chose to experience this moment together. And number three, at my core and my deepest level, I recognize yours. I share love with you unconditionally, respecting that despite good times and those that are not as good, I choose to see you in your highest light, for we both come from and are a part of the same one source that gave us life and that has brought us together. To me, that's true unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And the word in Indian culture is namaste. Mm-hmm. The spirit in me recognizes the spirit in you or the soul in you. And to me, this is more for a North American audience. But to me, that's unconditional love. It's full acceptance, full appreciation, full openness, complete non-judgmentalness. And that's the state of unconditional love to me. And that's not easy for some. Mm-hmm. I'll continue with this. Unconditional love, on the other hand, I love some of my writing. It makes me laugh, actually. That's kind of the humorous part. I get to laugh while I'm writing. Unconditional love, on the other hand, does not mean I love you, meaning thank God you're in my life because you're much better than my last boyfriend or girlfriend. Unconditional love also does not mean thank God you're in my life because I don't want to be alone and you're here to help me or save me. These types of love come with conditions. These types of love also infer that without the other, you would not get what you want. Hence, conditions. So that's the conditional love. Unconditional love is not about you or another person. It is about sharing the moment as a whole without separation and with total freedom to be who you really are without judgment and only with support. You can only unconditionally love others if you have it in you. And there will be times when you cannot love unconditionally. This is actually quite key as well. There will be times when you cannot love unconditionally because your buttons are being pushed, or because you are in a defensive mode, or because you are a spiritual being having a human experience. We've heard that one before. Mm-hmm. This means you are at times unconditionally and lovingly open, while at other times conditionally and potentially angrily or sadly closed off. And this is an incredibly important point to remember. It's okay to not be unconditionally loving. If you cannot allow yourself that, to feel closed off, to feel sad or angry, you would not be honoring how you're feeling and therefore not loving yourself. As a result, there is no way that you could share your love with others either. This is one of the greatest challenges, I believe, to mankind, that we force ourselves to be something and someone we are not. When feeling low, we are taught to put on a happy face. When at work, we are taught to leave our feelings at the door, and so on. And I can tell you that each time you mask how you're really feeling, you are burying a part of you. Each time you bury another part of you, you also bury your ability to be open and loving. The bad or negative side that we attempt to hide or throw away also carries with it the good or positive side, the yin and yang. This is why when you speak your mind about how you feel, you tend to feel good afterwards because of the release that also opens up the positive aspects. They call this the shadow side. The shadow also brings with it the light. Actually, another good quote that came to me, really cool quote once, was embracing the darkness is surrendering to the light. Hmm. That was quite neat. And so the next part is, how do you think your children learn to suppress their feelings in the first place? So that's the really, that's kind of the heart of that section, pardon the pun. And I could go on, but I think that's a good start. Yeah. So deep stuff.
Very deep stuff.
Yeah.
It's yeah. It's touching some areas right now, which is just going on in my life. But
And it's lovely too. You're I really love what you have in your signature. You say with love and an open heart, I think, is that what it says? Mm-hmm. Which is lovely. You know, that's because whether someone reads it or not, they get it. It comes through. So yeah, that's really nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Did you want to talk about your intuitive side?
Because yeah, I love that side.
we sort of talked about, you know, some of the more, well, I don't know what we'd call it, just all the different types of coaching parts that you are, but we haven't really talked other than your beginning of how you were very clairvoyant and then stopped seeing because of the poltergeist. But yeah, so talk about your intuitive side, because you also have a great story about that, I think.
Yeah, sure. I've got like oodles. but I would say, you know, the very first experience that I had with clairvoyance, and I differentiate between psychic and intuitive.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't notice that. I love that. So we're aligned, definitely. And so I would say I experienced more intuitive aspects. The psychic weren't so much developed, but the intuitive were. And so when I used to play competitive tennis, now the word's going to get out. I don't know if any of my opponents back then are going to hear the show, but uh-oh, it's in the past. It doesn't exist anymore. I remember playing tennis, and I was decent. I was ranked in Ontario, but that was as far as I went. And I had an injury. So all of a sudden I left tennis and was out for about a year, and I came back, got back into it. And all of a sudden, everyone thought my running speed had improved. It wasn't my running speed. It was that I could see where my opponents were going to hit the ball before they hit them.
Wow.
So I'd start to run there. Because I could see it in my mind. I saw it here in the third eye.
Wow.
I could see where it was going to go. And so I thought, I didn't even realize what I was doing. I just followed it. So I would see where it was going to happen, and I would just go there. Back then, I wasn't, you know, cognizant of intuition or that ability. I knew about seeing, but I only knew about seeing auras and spirits. I hadn't realized or recognized the intuitive part of inner seeing. And so I was experiencing it, but didn't know it. And so that was my first time when that happened. And ever since then, it's just developed. And so now there are times when I was working with a client and helping her with her newsletter. And of course, I'm at my office, she's at her office, separate places, our computers are not connected. I wasn't networking. I couldn't see what was on her screen physically, but as she was typing, I could intuitively see that she was making spelling mistakes. And so I would offer her corrections while we were talking. And it was quite funny. And I had never, that just happened about a month ago, 2 months ago. So it's becoming so clear now. And the neat thing is a lot of people are awakening to this. And so that's part of what core journaling is about. When people start taking this course, all of a sudden all their gifts start opening up. And in the calls, I'll be on the call with them, and I will identify to them when their gifts are opening, because I can feel and see and hear it. While I'm on my phone, I can feel it through the waves, and then I let them know, and then all of a sudden they get it, and now they know what to look for. So it's really cool. There's a great movie. I recommend tons of movies. I love movies, not TV, but movies. And so there's a movie called Next with Nicolas Cage. If you haven't seen it, you've got to get that film. He has the ability to see 2.5 minutes into his future.
Okay.
And it really describes clearly the intuitive sense of seeing a vision. Yeah, so very cool. For anyone who's listening, you got to see that film. It's not that, it's an action film. and typically when you see it and you're into this stuff, you think it's the coolest thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was one thing, but I tend to be guided to many different people and places. And so one day I was, and this is just pure, I would call this more synchronistic than intuitive, but we'll talk about how the intuition part came. This is probably the most touching experience of my life. And I was calling this phone number because it was the number to an investment. Okay, so my intent for calling this phone number that I had, I didn't know the people. I just knew that it was an investment. I thought, okay, great, I'm calling. And I call the number, and it's this voicemail of this girl. And I thought, that's odd. I'm pretty sure this is not the right number. So I hung up, and I called back again later in the day. Again, same number. I thought maybe I misdialed. Again, wrong, you know, it's same voicemail of this girl. So I didn't leave a message because I thought, wrong number. I hung up. And then the next day, this girl calls me. And she says, hi, your number showed up on my call display, but my number's unlisted. And she says to me, she said to me at that time, but I had a feeling I should call you. So again, keep in mind, this is a long distance call out of Toronto. I don't know who this person is. And she's telling me that she had a sense to call me. Immediately, I was already tapping and knowing something significant. This was somewhat significant. And so I said, well, I make, 100 calls a day sometimes. So I'm not sure what your number is or why I was calling you. If you tell me a little bit about you and what you do, that might remind me why I was calling. So she said, well, I'm not working. I'm on disability because my doctors think that I have multiple personality disorder because I see things. So here I am listening to this thinking, whoa, this was wild. And so that's just the beginning of the conversation. And then she says, and I have MS, and sometimes I can't walk very well, and so on. And I've studied nutrition, deep nutrition, the authentic, ancient stuff. And you can definitely let go of stuff like that. It's all energy. And I've even known people who've let go of MS and arthritis and osteoporosis and all these things, cavities. And so here I am speaking with her, and I was just quiet. I was just silent. And she said, well, tell me what you do. And this blew me away because I said to her, well, I help people to do what you do. And then she just starts sobbing. Spontaneously just sob, crying and crying, almost to the point of wailing. And so I just, gave her the space to do that. And she said, you mean there are other people out there like me? And I said, yes. She said, how many? In her mind, thinking like 10, 20 people. And so, I just gave a rough approximate, maybe, 20,000 people in the world who are really clear as she is, just guessing at that number, who are awake as much as she is with those gifts. And I just said 20,000 for the heck of it. But anyhow, if she's listening, because I don't know how many there are, but I would guess it would be around that. And so she just continues sobbing. And then she said, oh my God, I prayed to God for a miracle. Are you that miracle? And so that was a very touching moment because, that is true grace, I would say, and true divinity. So it was weird because my ego was there and both my, whoever we are in a non-ego state was there. And so I was aware of that. So the part of me was in true grace of that. And at the same time thinking, whoa, this is pretty wild stuff. And so that was my, the moment, and it was really touching. And my only answer for her that I could come up with was, I think I am. Mm-hmm. Not from ego, but mm-hmm. This is what you asked for, and now here it is. And so, and I said, and you can let go of your MS as well. And then all of a sudden she starts sobbing again, even more. And so we started working together for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I helped her. I mean, she would see things like everything. So anything you've heard of anyone being able to see energetically, she sees it.
Right.
And so she had no filters, no shields, no anything. And she even saw things that I've never heard of people seeing and was not so positive, some of it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. She's starting to see some of the not so
that's
pretty
right.
Things
exactly.
In the world.
Exactly. And so I offered her some ideas, some special tools that she could create to cleanse the energy of her home and just to keep her energy clean and clear. And ideally, it's my belief that if we're in a really clear level or pure state, we don't attract any of the other stuff. And so that was really the key for her. but she was just opening up to that. So mm-hmm. it took her a while. So, and then all of a sudden she stopped calling, and I don't even know what happened to her. So I hope that she's, you know, well, and that she's followed that path that we, you know, helped her with. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so that was pretty touching. And actually one of the cool, oh, this is a cool thing that I had never realized there was a gift that she has, and we must all have it, but I'd never been aware of it before. She said something to me. She said to me, because she knew I do this kind of work, she said, well, if, you know, she didn't say these words, but if you're intuitive and you can do this, tell me what I'm changing my name to. So she became really playful, which I loved, because initially she was sobbing and really upset, but then she settled and then felt more open and more open. And then she became playful, like a pixie, you know? Right. And so, so I took a moment and I immediately got the first letter M, last in my mind, I saw MN. And of course, I haven't used this gift. To me, that's a psychic gift. And I haven't used that in a long time. And I said, well, I started to make up excuses that I may get this wrong. I don't know. And I said, well, this is what I got. Marilyn. She said, Marianne.
Wow.
So that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And so that was quite exciting. And then I realized something. I realized that she has a very special gift that we all have access to, but I don't know that we all use it. When she's around people, she actually amplifies your intuitive abilities. Because she had told me about her boyfriend who wasn't into this stuff, but all of a sudden could see these things when he was around her. And so I thought this was such a cool concept. And so so whenever I note something like that, I remember it. And so, so that was one of the neat things that happened. So, and since then it just, you know, that gift has continued too. So, yeah. So it's pretty fun. That's for sure.
I'll say. Yeah. Wow. Well, we've passed an hour.
My gosh. Isn't it only like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. Wow.
So we are definitely going to have you come back.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
So we will set up some time and it'll be on a Thursday night and we'll do some more playing. But this has been a great experience. You've already given your website, but if you'd like to give your website again and maybe a phone number people can reach you at.
Yeah, sure. My website again is www.joshuazuchter.com, which is JOSHUAZUCHTER.com. And my phone number is, I'll give you my direct line, which is 416-388-1135.
Great. Well, Joshua, it's been a great pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll connect real soon.
I look forward to next time. Thanks so much.
All right, take care.